Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover.
Across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
2023 commemorates the 300th anniversary of his death, and there's a special exhibition looking at how he designed and created the space as part of Open Cambridge. Pleased to say I'm joined by the sub-librarian, Stephen Archer. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. I have to ask about the title, first of all. Sub-librarian makes it sound like they've sent me the office junior, but they haven't at all, have they?
It's a bit of a confusing one. Trinity's had a sub-librarian in post since 1773, when the post was created to make a position to look after the ever-growing library collections. So confusingly, I'm the head of the department, so I manage the library team of staff and our budgets. But overall, the library is managed by the librarian, with a capital T and a capital L, Dr. Nicholas Bell, who's a fellow of the college, one of the academics who are part of the kind of governing body structure of Trinity as a college.
Okay, well, let's talk about, Christopher Wren to start off with, because you look around Cambridge, it's not just the Wren Library that he was responsible for. Pembroke, Senate House, and several others as well.
Yeah, that's right. So he was prevalent working across the university and in these grand, high-status, public or sort of semi-public buildings. We like to think, of course, that the library is his best creation. And certainly when it opened, in library terms, no one had ever seen a library on the scale and grandeur of the Wren Library. It was really revolutionary of its time, changing the way library spaces worked and how they looked, and was very much a break from the medieval libraries which had preceded it, which we still see in existence in some of the colleges here
in Cambridge.
So what
would be the difference then between the two? Because one imagines instantly a library, you just think of a building with bookshelves in. But
yeah,
Wren Library is just so much more than that.
It's really to do with the proportions, I suppose, and the physical layout of the space. When people come to see the library, which we hope they will, it's really one big room. And it doesn't look in many ways dissimilar to some of his city churches that he worked on, particularly in London, if anyone's visited St. James's Piccadilly, perhaps. It's a very similar type of space. Instead of rows of pews, we have bookcases lining the sides of the room. But the main feature really in the Wren are the windows. So rather than having bays of bookcases with a small window on the side wall, instead Wren elevates the windows to the layer above the bookcases in a double height space, in effect. It has those sort of lofty proportions.
So at the time he would have been thinking about what needed to go in the space once it was completed. It wasn't just a matter for him of building a nice, designing a nice building, but also a building that was going to be used for a particular purpose.
Very much so. He was thinking very practically about the space. And of course, the thing that one needs when reading is light. Lots and lots and lots of light. So he created these 13 huge windows down either side of the library. It's so east on the east and west faces, so light streams into the building throughout the day. And the bays of the bookcases, which sit beneath the window, were much wider than they had been in medieval libraries that preceded them. And that allowed Wren to insert furniture, freestanding furniture, into those bays. Previously, the desks and the stools would have been appended to the bookcases themselves. And that stems from a practice when books would have been chained to the bookcases and you couldn't take them further away to read.
Well, that stops your books from being overdue, doesn't it?
Well, indeed. Indeed it does. But instead, Wren created a slightly freer space with tables in the centres of the bays and stools around them. And so multiple people could sit around a table together for the first time. This is sort of, again, revolutionary in terms of its design. Those tables and stools are still there in the library. They're still the furniture that we use every day. As our desks.
So not just the fabric of the building, but the insides as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he designed not just the building itself, but also the fixtures and the fittings too.
And when you wander around Cambridge and you look at, I don't know, Senate House or Pembroke or somewhere, do you think, oh, he did that for us too?
Well, yes, you can see similarities in his sort of the style of the work that he does. It has a sort of a look to it, I suppose.
And the building, once the design had been completed, they'd been submitted, presumably the elders of Trinity at the time had to decide whether or not they liked it before going ahead.
Indeed, yes. And there were various sort of plans and designs drawn up for the construction of the library. They finally got the go-ahead in 1675. But it took about 20 years to complete the building, not just because it took a long time because it's a large building, but also to raise the funds required. It was a constant sort of fundraising process over the 20-year period, and fellows of the college subscribed. We have Isaac Newton subscribing to donate money to the construction of the library. So it was a real investment for the college at the time, but with the idea being that it would sit as a sort of demonstrative example of Trinity's great investment in learning. It's a monument to the value that was placed on education in the college at the time.
And it's not just the library building and the furniture that people will be able to see if they come as part of Open Cambridge. You're also going to be opening up some of the collections for people to have a look at as well. What sort of things will they be able to see?
So the theme of this year's Open Cambridge Festival is creativity, and so we've decided to interpret that fairly loosely to give people the chance to see the range of the sorts of materials that we look after in the collection. And it's a huge collection. It's a very large building and it's absolutely full of books. But we've got a range of different types of material on display, from medieval manuscripts, which are some of the things the library is most famous for. So we have some of our Anglo-Saxon treasures on display, books from the 11th century, our oldest book, the Epistles of St. Paul. That's in reserve for the next exhibition. So we alternate the things that we have on display. So what we'd encourage people to do is to maybe visit as part of Open Cambridge and then come back another time and see something else. So yes, we have some Anglo-Saxon things. We have some notes from Otto Frisch and Robert Oppenheimer, which is obviously very topical.
Very timely as well. Not just, well, obviously a couple of things makes it timely. Obviously the film, but also the play we were mentioning earlier by local author Catherine Moore on at the Arts Theatre this week.
It's been a very popular part of the display,
I'm sure.
Must say. So there are some notes there and a description of from Otto Frisch, who was a fellow of the college and became the Jacksonian Chair of Physics here in the university, of him describing the bomb going off, which is an amazing first-hand account of him telling us that he was 20 miles away and seeing how he sees the light reflecting on the hills. They turn so they don't look at it obviously directly, and they see the reflection, and then they turn back to see the aftermath, as it were, and some photographs of the site at Los Alamos and the uranium blocks that they were using there. So it's a very much more modern part of the collections, but we have that alongside a first edition inscribed copy of The Origin of Species by Charles Darwin, Karl Marx's Das Kapital. There's a Shakespeare first folio on display, the manuscript of Winnie the Pooh, and a really interesting exhibition about women, the role of women in the printing trade, and that was an exhibition put together by one of our graduate trainees. So we allow a newly qualified graduate student to come and work in the library with us for a year, and they get to do an exhibition as part of their year with us, and our trainee this time chose to look at how women had been involved in the printing trade in the 16th and 17th centuries. So lots and lots of different elements on show for people to come and have a look at.
There's quite a almost contradictions really in there. You've got the beginning of life with Darwin and the end of it potentially with Frisch.
Indeed, yes. And what we wanted to, as I say, to try to put out on display was this real range of materials, so that anybody coming in would hopefully find at least one thing of interest. And what we also find is that some people aren't interested in the collections at all. They just want to see the building and the
marvel
space
at the windows. Yeah,
exactly. And so the great thing about the library being open is it's completely free. So you can come and spend 5 minutes, you can come and spend half an hour, you can come and spend an hour. Some people have. What we would say to those coming is that sometimes there can be a little bit of a wait. We're not asking people to book, so some people are spending quite a long time in the space.
Bring a book with you.
Well, indeed.
Just in case.
Plenty
what are the opening hours if people do want to go along?
So as part of the Open Cambridge Festival, the hours are 12 till 2 on weekdays, and will also be open this Saturday between 10 and 4. Last admission is going to be at 3:45, so we'd advise if you want to come in the afternoon, try and come as early as you can to make sure that you get through. But beyond Open Cambridge, and for people listening who are obviously going to be locally based, what we'd like to let you know is that the library is actually open now all the time. So our standard opening hours are on weekdays between 12 and 2, and that'll extend beyond Open Cambridge and this week. And then once term begins again, we'll also be open on Saturday mornings between 10:30 and 12:30. All those times are on our website, so if anybody wants to go back and check those, they can see them there.
Stupid question, when does term begin? And I speak as the husband of a teacher, so but as far as you're concerned, when is term starting up?
So this is the beginning of the university
of
term.
Course.
So for us, that this year is the first Saturday we'll be open is the 30th of September.
That's not too far away.
No,
actually.
No, it's so, scarily close
there's
now.
So much to see and fascinating, both in terms of the building and what's in it as well.
We think so, yeah, and we are really looking forward to seeing people back in the space. My desk is right by the entrance to the library, and it never gets boring seeing people coming in and their chins just sort of dropping as they walk through the door, and marvelling at the space that we get to work in every day and just to call our office. So,
that's great, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about that this morning. Stephen Archer, the sub-librarian at the Wren Library at Trinity College, and do take a look at the Open Cambridge website for details of that particular exhibition, also some of the many other places that you can get to see, many of them often hidden from around the city. It's 20 after 9.
Cambridge 105 Radio.